Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Luke, the 4th chapter of the book of Luke. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading at verse number 14, 4th chapter, the book of Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Let's pray. Father, again I thank you tonight for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much for this great privilege we have once again to gather together in your house, your place that you've given us. And Father, that we might preach thy word and we might honor you tonight together as a people. And Father, that as the Word of God goes forth, that Lord, that we'll always remember that it's your word. It will not come back void. You'll do with it what you desire to do with it. And Father, we'll just ask that you do that tonight in our midst. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, many of the habits and traditions, we might call them traditions of the church, are not just hand-me-down men's traditions. There are certain things from generation to generation that the Bible tells us to do. Jesus Christ has set the example, of course, here in this gospel to some things that I want to bring to your attention to tonight. But it's so important that we understand that the Bible, being God's Word, is what must be our guide for our worship, for our meeting together, for all of those things we do as Christians. Now, I've never been against traditions, family traditions. I think those are good. I think it's good for us to build traditions as long as they don't go against the Bible. I think there's certain things in our families, gets around holiday seasons and Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of those. I think probably everybody in here has a few little traditions that you do in your family. I think that's good. I think that brings remembrances to our children and grandchildren, and those kind of things are very precious and very good. But the things that I'm talking about tonight is some things that are established as ways that we ought to serve the Lord, and how kind of a testimony we ought to be in our community for Jesus Christ. You know, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. And tonight I want to dedicate this message to the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, your preacher preaches kind of hard and should do so. He should do that. There are some times that God once in a while would simply say, "I just want you to love them tonight and be thankful for them and let them be encouraged in me." And tonight is one of those nights. Now, hard preaching ought not to discourage you. Hard preaching is good for us. And we ought to be encouraged by hard preaching. I'm just simply saying, though, tonight, I want to bring a message of thanksgiving. I want to thank the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church tonight for doing what Jesus did. Now, through this scripture, as we look at some of the things that the Lord Jesus did, there's no doubt you and I are going to find some weaknesses, some areas that we're going to talk about that maybe we're not what all we should be. And that's always good. that's good for us to see that. But at the same time, tonight, I basically want to bring out some things that Jesus did that I believe that down through the years, that those at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'm talking about as a whole, as a church, we've tried to follow. And tonight, I just want to look at them. Tonight, if you look at verse number 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." One of the things that Jesus did, it was just his custom to go to church. I thought about that a lot of times, and I thought about how imperfect the synagogue was, the Jewish religion was, how all the many kinds of things that they had added to the law of God. And it certainly was an imperfect place. It was a place that when he come, I'm sure he was astounded, although he knew what he was going to find because he was God, but astounded at some of the things that the Jews were doing in the synagogue. But let me say to you, he still went to the synagogue. It was a very important, it was a very imperfect place, but he went to the synagogue. And tonight I want to thank those who down through the years has been faithful just simply to attend church. Just simply be in your place. And be where you ought to be, faithfully attending the house of God, showing forth a great testimony to this community that church is more than a game with you. Now I want to say thank you for that. It means a lot to this preacher to know that when the services come about, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning services, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're going to have some people here that's just going to be here on a regular basis. Because they just believe that's where you ought to be when the service, when the doors of the house of God is open. They just believe that. And I'm thankful. I've watched down through the years, and I've seen many of you. You've been faithful to God. Some of you got saved late in life, but some of you got saved early in life. But thank God for your faithfulness to the house of God. It is just absolutely right to go to church. To be faithful to the house of God. Jesus set that example. You're not going to find the perfect church, folk. You understand? And Jesus didn't find a perfect synagogue. But he went. And I say to you, yes, we ought to be as perfect as we can be. We ought to do everything we can do to be the kind of church that God would want us to have. But let me say to you, thank you for those who have been so faithful to just simply be in your place, faithfully in the house of God, bringing your children, rearing them up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. This pastor just simply wants to say thank you for going to the synagogue. I know it's not a synagogue, going to the church. But I just want to say thank you for doing that. That's what Jesus did. And he was there. It was his custom to do so. No doubt about it. I've showed this verse of Scripture to multitudes of people when I've been dealing with them and talking to them. And they've said, you know, you don't have to go to church and you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. You've all heard those same excuses. You've heard them down through the years. And I'll take them a lot of times to this fourth chapter of the book of Luke and I'll say, but that's what Jesus did. And if Jesus felt like he should be in the synagogue where the Word of God was preached and taught, then you and I certainly ought to be in church. And we ought to be faithful to the house of God. So again, I want to say thank you for just being faithful to go to church and be faithful to the house of God all of these years. Second thing, you notice in verse number 16, he says that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now again, you understand and I understand that we don't keep the Sabbath at this time. The Sabbath was on a Saturday. And I'm just simply saying to you though, but he kept the Sabbath day holy. It was his custom on the day that was set aside to go to the house of God. And I want to say to you, I want to thank you again for setting Sundays aside. Now, folks, listen, I just happen to believe something. I know it's not a holy day like it was there as far as the Sabbath. I know all of those things, but I still believe that Sunday is a special day. I mean, it's a special day because it's a day that God has set aside for us to gather together in God's house, hear the Word of God preached, pray together, sing praises unto the Lord, do all those things which we ought to be doing. It's just a day that ought to be set aside. It's not a day that we ought to dedicate ourselves to the things of this world. It just is a special day, a special time. And I'm very thankful for those who down through the years who simply have just made Sunday something very special. I get up on Sunday, and I know my life's a little bit different on Sunday than yours is, but I get up on Sunday, and I'm reminded once again, it's another day, it's another Sunday. A lot of times, when we get home on Sunday night, I'll say to my wife, I'll say, well, another Sunday has passed. And God has been good to us, and special day. Can you just give a little thought to that, what Sunday really is? I mean, a day when we have the opportunity to come to the house of God, we have the opportunity to hear the Word of God preach, have the opportunity to bring multitudes into the house of God that they may hear the Word of God. Sunday school teachers have the opportunity to teach the Bible, the Word of God. We have the opportunity to pray unto our God and sing praises unto Him. And we just have all of those great opportunities. I want to say something. It's a special day. And I know what the world has done. The world has made it like any other day. It don't mean much to them, but boy, for Christians, it ought to mean something to us. And again, I want to say thank you here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church for making Sunday a very, very special day in your life. And just keep passing that on down to your children and your grandchildren, and always make Sunday just something very, very special. And again, I say thank you for doing that. And again, I want to say in verse number 16, He said on the Sabbath day, and He stood up for to read. Now, this is one of the verses that I use when anyone would ever question me. Most people never ask me why I have people to stand. I do not fight with those who do not have people to stand as we read the Word of God. There's many preachers, good, honest, blessed preachers, that do not have their people stand. That's fine. That's up to them. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But that's just one of the main reasons that I do. When the Word of God is preached, I know here it was Jesus, He stood up. You go back into the book of Amos and you find that they stood up. I just believe it's a good thing to just say, I want to reverence the Word of God as it is being read. So that's why I have you stand. If another preacher come in here and don't have you stand, don't you get mad at him. Don't you think he's a heretic or anything like that. He's not. But I'm just simply saying, your preacher, I do that in reverence to the Word of God. And so I have you stand, and of course here we find that He stood up to read. And again, I might just say something. Not only just talking about standing to read the Word of God, but I'm very thankful for a church who down through the years who's just stood for right. I mean, was not afraid to stand up against the old world in this community and just stand for what is right. And I believe, again, that is so important for a church that wants to have a testimony that they not only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they believe they ought to live for Him and love Him and follow Him and serve Him, that's willing to do that and simply just stand up to this old world and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's my Savior, and I believe in Him. I say to you, thank you to this church for standing, for setting a testimony down through the years that this is a place that's a little bit different than other places. It's a place that has not went into liberalism. It is a place who has stood for the truth of the Word of God, which we'll talk about here in a few moments. But thank God for those who's willing to just stand up and say, I believe in Christ, and be a witness for Him. And again, I say to you, we've got young people in our congregation here who's taken a stand in this community. Goes out on soul winning on Wednesday evening, right after school. Goes out on soul winning. Some of them go to their public schools and make a stand for the Word of God. Just make a stand for Jesus Christ. And I want to say thank you for doing that and not being afraid to do that. And just simply stand for the Lord no matter what the world does, no matter what they say, we just stand. I want to also thank the men of this church who goes out to their jobs day after day or night after night or whatever it might be in your schedule, but still takes with you the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I want to say thank you for it. I want to thank you, the ladies of this church who, regardless what it is they do through the day, whether it's in home or wherever it may be, just simply take a stand for Jesus Christ. And I want to say thank you for that, ladies. What a blessing. What a wonderful blessing it is. I had a lady call me the other day, and she mentioned to me something about didn't think something was right, and she wasn't going to be a part of it, and she wasn't going to do this. Did I think that that was proper? And it had something to do with her work. And I commended her on it. I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. Thank you for being willing to stand against this old world and its ways. Amen. Praise the Lord for doing things like that. And we're a blessed people when we've got ladies and men and boys and girls that'll just stand up for Jesus Christ. You see, if the preacher was the only one, I certainly am not, but if a preacher was the only one standing and preaching the Word of God and the people did not follow through and did not carry that through in their lives, they would be very little done in this community. No, it takes a people who's willing to stand up for Jesus Christ. And no matter what the cost, simply stand for Him. It's all right, folks, that you don't listen to their dirty jokes. It's all right you don't take part in their filthy conversations. It's all right if you don't take part in the ways that they do things in this world and cheat and do all those other kind of things. It's right, it's proper that you don't do those kind of things. And I say to you, thank you for being a people who's willing to set a testimony in this area for the wonderful things of the Lord and the right things of the Lord. That is so important because the world's not going to believe some other kind of people. You go out here and you act like the world, and I'll guarantee you're not going to see many people come to Christ. I say to you, probably you're not going to see any. That's the problem in Christianity today. We don't see many saved a lot of times because we're unwilling to take the stand and be different. But I thank the Lord for this church and its people who go out day by day and stand for the Lord. I've worked in factories. I was saved when I was 26 years of age, 4 years later called to preach. And so all of those years I worked in a factory. And I understand a little bit what it is, at least in those days, what it was to go to work and to be around unsaved people. I've had those people try to come up and put dirty pictures in my face after I got saved and so that I would look at them. I've had all those kind of things happen to me. I've had them ridicule me, laugh at me, and so have you. If you're standing for Jesus Christ, you will have those things happen unto you. And so I just simply say, it's all right, folks. Just keep standing for Jesus. He's gonna come again. And we trust it'll be soon, but He's coming again. So on this Thanksgiving season, thank you for being a people who's willing to stand. And then not only that, in verse number 17, we find, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Also, I noticed that Jesus here had the Bible, had the Word of God, and it was open. And I'm very thankful for a people who has an open Bible, who comes to the house of God carrying their Bibles. And thankful for those who lay that Bible on your laps. Most of you lay them on your laps or beside you on a seat, and you follow along as we read. And the Word of God means something to you. And your lives are guided by the Bible, the open Bible, the Word of God. Let me say to you also, thank God we're a King James Version church that follows the Bible, the Word of God. That's the preserved Bible that God gave to us and for us to keep and to have. I don't know about those other folks, but I have the Word of God. Preserved Word of God. I have it right here before me as I stand and preach. That's what I read from. That's what I believe. That's what I study. And I'm not going to use anything else. Oh, Satan has done everything under the sun to try to dilute the Word of God with all of these other translations. And there's folk after folk that go out here and buy that thing. And they buy them and they look at them and they say, boy, it's easier to read. God didn't give us a book that was easy to read. He wanted us to study it so we know what it said. We don't need an easier book to read. We just need to know how to read the Bible and study the Bible, which is God's Word. So I'm very grateful tonight for a people who stood on the Bible. I mean, right down the line on the Bible. Now, you may be here tonight. Maybe you never heard this about the Bible. I don't know. You may be new. You may be saved not very long. You may not understand all those things. I understand that. You need to be taught, because there's all kinds of folk out there wanting us to believe all these other translations and get these other easy reading translations. You get your King James Version of the Bible. Just stick with it, and the Holy Spirit of God will teach you and help you to understand His Word, you see. So I'm grateful for a church who has over the years stood for an open Bible, who's opened their Bibles and heard the preaching of God's Word and has stood on that open Bible, and they've believed it. It's become the guide of their life. I mean, it runs their families. It runs their businesses. It runs their relationships. I mean, it runs all kinds of things, because it's the Bible, God's Word, and is supposed to. It's supposed to guide us. And so we see the Lord Jesus opening the Bible, the Word of God, and reading from it. Thank God we have that privilege tonight to be able to read from God's Word. Again, I want to say thank you for a people who will believe the Bible and simply stand on the Bible, the Word of God. I want to thank you. We're not going to change, folks. Amen. No matter where pressure comes from, we're not going to change, okay? How could we change from this wonderful book? See, folk that want to change from this wonderful book's got real problems. And there's folks around who want you to change. They want to put the pressure on you to change, but we're not going to change. Amen. We're just going to stick with the Bible. So this preacher wants to say thank you to a people who's willing to simply say, "Preacher, that's what we want." Now, we're going to do that anyway, but thank God. Don't it make it much greater if we have a people who says, "Oh, that's what we want, preacher. We want the Bible, the Word of God. We're going to put these Bibles on our lap. We're going to read them. We're going to study them." They're going to become, it's going to become the very guide of our life. Everything we do, we're going to do it according to the Bible. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? So we find Jesus Christ did that, and I say to you tonight, I'm very thankful for a group of people who simply just believe the Bible and is willing to follow the Bible and find in the Bible what they need for their direction for their life. And then, of course, in verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." If you notice there, he talked about the Spirit of the Lord is being upon him. I want to say something to you. There isn't any preaching can ever get to be done that'll be worth anything if it's not directed by the Spirit of God. And let me say to you also, there's not an individual sitting in this room that's ever going to do what they ought to do for God unless they're empowered by the Spirit of God. You see, it's not just the preacher that needs to be Spirit-filled. It's the people that needs to be Spirit-filled. You need to be Spirit-filled listeners. You need to be Spirit-filled listener. You need to be people who absolutely believe that the Spirit of God is the guide of your life. He uses the Bible to do that, but it's the Spirit of God that guides and directs our life, you see. We've been preaching in the book of Ephesians. Folks, God expects us to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about on a day-by-day living for Jesus Christ, we're to live a life that is guided and directed and yielded to the Spirit of God. Now, every Christian is supposed to do that, you see, not just the preacher. The preacher should do that, but so should you do that. So I say to you, I'm very grateful, because we wouldn't be seeing in this church things that are being done in this church if there wasn't a people who was being guided and directed and empowered by the Spirit of God. You see, it takes more than flesh to go out there and knock on those doors and bring boys and girls in on buses. It takes more than flesh to go down in these Sunday school classes and stand up before a group of people and teach the Word of God to them. Flesh can do it, but it'll get nothing accomplished. It takes the Spirit of God using that individual to teach the Word of God to them. So again, I say to you, no matter what the ministry is, even in our nursery, I believe folk in the nursery ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. I believe our ushers ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. I believe our song leader and our piano player and the people who sing in congregation songs ought to be filled with the Spirit of God, doing so anointed by the Spirit of God. Do you believe that? I believe that's what God wants for us, you see, because nothing will be accomplished if we don't. Church after church this day, I know for a fact, all across this nation, churches where preachers got up and brought forth a message and the power of God was not even there anywhere present. And people come and listen and the power of God was not with them either. I'm simply saying to you, things will happen if we let God do it and empower us and let Him have the honor and the glory and the praise for it. Amen. An individual, the other evening I spoke at Thanksgiving banquet, there was a couple preachers there, and preacher came up to me and said, "Brother Ross, I enjoyed your message." And he said, "You know, I just knew God was with us tonight." And I said, "Thank you, sir. You couldn't have given me a greater compliment. It wasn't me, but it was God. But you know what? When we meet, should not we know God's been with us?" Amen. It's not important whether I'm with you or not, or you're with me or not. It's important whether God's here. Amen. That's what's important. So I say to you, we find that he was anointed to preach the Word of God. And that's what we need. Spirit-anointed preaching of God's Word and Spirit-anointed listening to the Word of God, going home from here and all of us putting it into practice in our life, applying it to our life, letting the Spirit of God deal with us and lead us, and we're yielded to the Spirit of God, you say. That's what God expects of us. So we find, of course, our precious Lord Jesus, the Lord, the Spirit of God was on Him without measure, you know. But I'm just simply saying to you, thank God for this great example He set for us, something that we must always, always understand. We cannot serve in the flesh and get spiritual things accomplished. Amen. The world can do that. We need God's power in our life. And then, of course, in verse 18, also he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, I want to stop there a moment, and I want to say to you, I want to thank this church for being a blessing to the poor of this community. Over and over, sometimes you don't know all that happens, because it happens through sometimes myself and directing it and other people who do it and bus ministries and all kinds of things. But I want to tell you, there's a ministry to the poor, and we ought to minister to them. Not just to their physical needs, yes, we ought to do that, but to their spiritual needs. We must understand, just to feed them physically is not what they need. They may need that, but we must also feed them spiritually. We must see to their spiritual needs. And so that's what Jesus was doing. He preached the gospel to the poor. Thank God this is not a high and mighty church that is afraid to get a little dirt on their walls and doors because bus kids come in. Thank God for that. They're not too worried about the carpet that gets all kind of messed up and dirtied and sometimes wore out because a bunch of bus kids is just wore it out. Amen. Thank God we're a church that just cares enough. We want to preach the gospel to the poor. And I believe this church down through the years has done that. I believe you're a people who's done that. And I want to say thank you. As a pastor, I want to say thank you for being willing to reach the poor with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to say something to you. I don't, of course, don't know what all churches do. I know there's churches that go out and try to do things, but I want to tell you something. Very few churches in this community go out and try to reach the poor and bring them into the house of God like this church does. And I'm not bragging on that. I'm just simply saying that's something we're supposed to do. We ought not to brag about it. We ought not pat ourselves on the back about it. It's what we're supposed to do. Amen. So I say to you, we ought to be reaching the poor with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, he said, "And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." All kinds of folk out there, my folk, there's all kinds of folk out there that are brokenhearted and hurt. I mean, they're there. Yes, I get a lot of it myself, but I know you get it individually too. You hear the stories. You hear those folk who are absolutely brokenhearted. And sometimes we have a tendency to just simply say, well, if they didn't do this or they didn't do that, this wouldn't have happened to them. But folks, let me just say to you, they're still brokenhearted. and they need someone to minister to them, they need someone to preach to them, and they need someone to care about them. I want to thank this church that down through the years they've cared about the brokenhearted, and there have been multitudes come through these doors of this church who has been brokenhearted and found a place where they could come and they could hear the Word of God preached and they could be loved. And I think that's so important when folk come in those doors that they're not looked down upon, but they're loved. They're cared about. I know you've got to handle all these things. I know you in buses and we get some of them, you know, they get rowdy and all these kind of things. I know all of those things. But I want to say to you, we still got to do right and we got to reach the brokenhearted. Why? That's what Jesus did. Amen. Jesus did it, and we've got to do it also. And he said also, he said, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Folks, I suppose you understand, those without Christ, just like you and I was before we got saved, are captive. I mean, we're in the bondage of sin. Now, we may have been saved a long time. We kind of forget what we used to be and where we used to be in the bondage of sin. We kind of forget that sometimes, and we look at other folk and don't understand why in the world they're acting like they are. Well, I'll tell you why they're acting like they are, because they are of the world and they don't have Christ, just like you and I used to be. And we've got to remember that what you needed is the same thing they need. You see, and that's Jesus. That's Christ. And so we need to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to set free the captive. He said to the blind. You understand, folks. Folk out there are blinded. Oh, Satan has them blinded. Don't we understand that? And we sometimes look at them like, well, what's the matter with you? Don't you understand you need Christ? No, they don't. They don't see it. They don't understand it. They need someone to come along and say, Jesus loves you, and here's the gospel. No, not compromise with them, but take the gospel to them. Take the Word of God to them is what they need so that their eyes can be opened. And they need help. And the only help we can give them is Jesus Christ. You believe that? See, there isn't any other help, folks. There may be temporary bandages that can be put on, but there is no lasting hope without Christ. And that's that is the message they need to hear. Well, I want to say thank you to a church that down through the years has brought forth the gospel of Jesus Christ and presented to the people of this area that one who and one alone who can help them, and that is Jesus Christ. You see, that's on our track. Jesus Christ is our foundation. Amen? And what do? Well, we save souls and we help Christians to grow. That's what we're all about, you see. Seeing folks saved. And God's allowed us to see some folks saved. Thank you, church, for being faithful to the preaching of Jesus Christ, the only hope for this community. Not only that, we find in verse number 20, you notice it says, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I just want to say something to you, folks. When you stand here like Jesus stood, you're going to have to stand to scrutiny of the world who's going to be looking at you. And their eyes are going to be fastened on you. We realize that we are what they see when it comes to God. And they're going to be watching us. And we're going to have to be willing to stand up under the scrutiny of this old world. I say to you, folks, your lives and my life ought to be as such a testimony that it'll stand up to the scrutiny of this world. When they look at you and when they look at me, they ought to be able to see someone. No, maybe not that they agree with everything we are, but they look at us and see us as people who believe the Bible and is standing for the Word of God. Let me say to you, the world is out there looking at us. And they are watching us, and we have not the right to disappoint them. We have only the right to stand fast on the Word of God. And as they see us, they see that we're a people who believes the Bible. No, not perfect, but believe the Bible and doing everything we can to stick with the Word of God and preach the Word of God. That's the old world. They need that.
They need to be able to see something in this community that has meaning. Amen? So again, I want to say thank you to a church down through the years who's been willing to stand the test of scrutiny. It's had its ups and downs. It's had its problems, but we've still stood fast. And this community deserves to have a church that stands for the Word of God and makes no apologies for it. Amen? We have nothing to apologize for. We just need to stand for the Bible, the Word of God, do what Jesus says, and do those things that He did, and be what we ought to be for the people of this community, these surrounding communities, so that we can win people to Jesus Christ. See, that's what it's all about. And so also then, the last point, I want to show you also one thing. I did not read it in my text, but I want to start reading now at verse number 22, and I want you to listen. It says, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son?" I want to stop there just for a moment. When they said that, they were saying, "Isn't this just another individual? Isn't this just another man? Isn't this Joseph's son?" They was not recognizing him as God, the Redeemer who had come to redeem those souls. And I'll show you here in a minute how we know that for sure. Because Jesus immediately picked up the conversation and began to tell them some things. And he says, "And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." In other words, say, yes, you're going to say, "Physician, heal yourself." And they did. And he's going to say, "I remember some of those great works you done over there in Capernaum. We want you to do them here in our country." See, they was out after the great works, the great miracles, the things like this is what they wanted to see. So Jesus said, "Verily," in verse 24, "I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And then he goes on to say, "But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Isaiah, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard those things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, and they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went his way." Did you know what made them mad? All at once. Now listen, folks. This is that same group of people who were sitting here listening to the gracious words of Jesus Christ. What he said to them was this. You know those widow ladies that God sent these people to? Did you know that they was Gentiles? That's basically what he was saying. This was a Gentile lady. This was a Gentile whom was healed. Naaman was healed, the Syrian. And this made them so mad that they rose up to stone him. I just want to say something to you, folks. When you preach real grace, saved by the grace of God, saved not because you're a certain color of a skin, or you're a certain race, or you're poor or rich, when you just simply say, "Jesus wants to save everybody, and He will save everybody, no matter who they are, He loves all and is no respecter of person," let me say to you, you're going to find some trouble. And I might say to you, you've got to, and I have to, expect persecution from this old world, and let me say basically the religious world out there, when you want to just simply preach, this is the way you get saved. You've got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and whosoever does that, puts their faith and trust in Christ, is saved. Amen? No matter who they are. No matter what color their skin. Amen? See, it doesn't make any difference. What did it? God came to save every single one on the face of this earth. He made everybody. And if you want to argue about what color skin he gave some of them, go argue with God. He made them. Amen. Go talk to him about it, because he's here to save them. He went to the cross to die on the cross to save their souls. So I say to you, even in this, we have a group of people who is willing to listen and to hear the gracious words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it came down to these certain things, they wanted to stone him to death. Now, I'm simply saying this. Thank you for a church that's been willing down through the years to simply stand when persecution come. I don't mean we've had heavy persecution. I don't know of any real terrible persecution that we've had here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I know there's been persecutions, but there's never been that terrible persecution here at this church. None of us has ever suffered that great persecution that we find in the Bible. Now, we would like to think we do. I mean, a little trouble comes our way, and we think, my goodness sakes, the world is going to come to an end. But we have not really suffered the persecution that could be suffered and maybe will be suffered in our land one of these days because of what's the direction it's going, and God may allow that persecution to really get tough. I'm just simply saying to you, thank you for a church who stood in the midst of troubles, heartaches, problems. You've just stood, you've been faithful, and you've just stood with the Bible, the Word of God, and just stuck in there, done what you're supposed to do. I want to say thank you for that, and I want to tell you one of these days, Jesus is coming, and he'll take care of the rewarding as he sees fit. Amen? So I just tonight wanted to say thank you to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have so much to be thankful for. God has been so good to us, folks. We ought to praise him. I mean, we haven't really got time to talk about problems. We are too busy praising him. Our problems are minimal. But our praise ought to be maximum. Amen? Because we have a great God, and he's good. This Thanksgiving, let us not forget. Let us not sit down at our table without praising and thanking God for how good he is to us. Amen? Let us never forget it. Thank you, church, for being a faithful church. In Jesus' name, we ask these things tonight. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us to be like you. Tonight, we've been able to look at a few things that you were, that you still are, and always will be. And Lord, we have a desire to be like you. And I ask you, Father, to help us as a church. No, Lord, we're not perfect. There's so many areas we need to correct. We need to do better. We need to always be better for thee. But Father, thank you for the faithful people who's stuck with the Bible, the Word of God, and not deviated from it. Thank you for down through the years how they've been faithful to just stand in there and stand for the things of the Lord. Thank you for that. So I just simply ask you to help us, and also help us to be thankful and have thankful hearts for all that you have done. All that you're going to do for us, we want to thank you. We ask the blessings of God be upon us as we go about our business this week, that we might serve thee, and that we might always be busy about the things you've appointed us to do. And then, Lord, as we go, we might always be thankful and grateful for your goodness. Now, thank you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.